Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here we are at the end of the month already, and the last Monday of the month we have questions and answers. But before we have questions and answers, we'll back up a minute. And the theme for February was go and do. Go and do what? Go and do your life. Go and do what you want to do in life. Go out there and do something. I found this today. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. Many people talk their projects to death, and they keep talking, and they never get started. So quit talking, quit saying what you're going to do, and start doing it. People ask me all the time, well, how do you do that? Because they look out and they see this big project in front of them. And I tell them, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. If you try to swallow the whole elephant, you'll never be able to do it. But if you take it one bite at a time, you can devour a whole elephant. So that's when you look at something that you want and you say, this is overwhelming to me. Don't do that to yourself. Your mind always will do that to you. It will say, you can't do that. It's too big. But you have to start, you're saying. And you start. If you want to move a mountain, you start with one rock and you just keep moving a rock and moving a rock till you have that mountain moved. And your mind can do that, you say. Your mind can say, oh yeah, I can move a rock, but it will say you can't move a mountain. So you just stop and you become paralyzed. So think of that. One little thing at a time, that's all you have to do. Your mind will not do the rest. Years ago when I was training for a marathon, the way I trained for a marathon was, I would say, well, today I could run to that mailbox, tomorrow I'll run to the next mailbox. And I just kept adding on a little time. If I would have said to myself, I have to run 24 miles today, my mind would have said, are you nuts? Are you crazy? You can't do it. And you can't. So you have to start. But look at it differently. Never look at the whole big thing. Never look at the whole project. The project will get done. The mountain will be moved. But you have to do it one thing at a time. One rock at a time. So don't let your mind do that to you. Remember, all minds work alike. All minds work alike. And when they get overwhelmed, and you hear people say, I'm just overwhelmed with this. Well, of course you're overwhelmed with it because you looked at the whole picture. You can't look at the whole picture. Look at it. Remember those paint-by-number pictures that you used to have? Just paint one little thing at a time, one little thing at a time, and it will get done. Somebody said, oh, a writer said to me, I can't do this. I have all these chapters to do. I just can't do this. I said, can you write one sentence a day? He said, yeah, I could do that. I said, then start with just writing one sentence. If you write one sentence a day, you'll have a book in no time. But you say, I can't do a book. My God, look, that's 200, 300 pages. I couldn't write 200, 300 pages. But you can write one sentence, can't you? And before you know it, you have a book. We are given a mind. But we have to learn how to use that mind. And you have to see what your mind is doing to you all the time. And we do it to ourselves. No one else in the world is doing anything to you. Nothing on the outside of life is doing anything to you. Your mind is doing everything to you. Remember, it's a mental world we live in. So when you look out and you get overwhelmed, of course you're not going to do anything. You're going to become paralyzed. But if you start with one step, one little thing, the project will get done. So those are things to remember. During this month, I hope that you learned that, and then you'll apply that, you see. We want to always be kicking this idea up. We want to be accelerating our lives all the time. And to do that, we have to be able to use our minds, and we have to be able to use our minds correctly. So think of those things. People say, I could never save any money. Can you save a penny? You have to start somewhere. Can you save a dollar a week? In a year's time, you'd have 52, and before you know it, you have money. Before you know it, you have money. But people say, oh, what's a penny? It's not going to do anything. You have to grow your money. And you have to say, oh, that penny's going to grow into a dollar. When I came in tonight, I found a quarter right here on the chair, didn't I? I said, thank you very much, prosperity. I put it in my pocket. I never step over any money on the street, a penny or anything. I pick it right up and say, thank you, pennies from heaven, more please. And all that change builds into something. I take bags of it sometimes to those machines. I love to throw them in those machines. And then they go, you think, oh, there's nothing there. And you take it up and that woman says, oh, $52, $72. I go, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Start. You have to start. Think. Yes. One little thing at a time doesn't. Many people have a lot of money. They tell me that little old women in this country have most of the money. We think it's all the corporations and so forth. But little old women, I have a little old woman who lives above me. She's very rich. And she'll tell me, you know, I'm very rich. She's also very cheap. But she's very rich, you say. Because they know I'll save a dollar. And they save a dollar. They save a little. They don't save large amounts of money. But it adds up. It accumulates. And that's what you have to do with things. Let them accumulate. Let things accumulate in your life. All right, the other thing that I wanted to bring up was, we talked last week about being influenced by the world outside, by being influenced by the culture that we live in, or the society that we live in. And certainly in the Western world, we are taught differently than Eastern, in the Eastern world. But one of the things that we have done here is this thing that we call religion, and these organized religions, or what brand name religions, what they have done is they have put into people's minds that we are here on this plane of action to suffer. To suffer. Because we're going to have a payoff once we die. Now, I don't know anyone that came back and told me that, you see, so I don't know if that's true or not. But before religion, before formalized religion, before Christianity, here's what Aristotle said. Happiness is the meaning and purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. That was Aristotle. So that was before Christianity. And the ancients, especially the Romans, knew that we're here to be happy. So think of that for yourself. You're here to be happy. Why most people you run into aren't happy? What is the sense of going through your life not being happy? Because somebody told you you couldn't? Because somebody laid a guilt trip on you? Because somebody made you shameful? Don't allow that to happen. You are grown people now. You have a mind. You can think for yourself. Religion, organized religion, put that on you so it could control you. You're old enough now to control yourself. You are not going to go out there and make a mess of yourself because you're happy. People are afraid, oh, too much happiness and I'll turn into a heathen or something. Well, turn into a heathen. You're only here for a certain amount of time. And none of us know how long we're here for. None of us. So learn to be happy. Learn to be happy. By the way, on Sunday, I turned 65 years old. I'm happy. And I intend to get happier. My goal in life is to be better when I am 70, to be healthier when I am 70, to be happier when I am 70 than I am now. And that was my goal when I was 50, to be happier at 60, and at 60 to be happier at 65. Why is that? Because I know I'm always moving from my good to my greater good. And I know that it is my responsibility to do that. And no one can take that happiness away from me. No one can take my health away from me. Only I can do that. So learn these things. Learn to be happy in life. Learn to be happy. Don't let the world tell you that you can't be happy. You can't be happy until you have the job you want, till you have the money you want, till you have the mate you want, till you have the car you want. Whatever your mind is telling you that you need out there to be happy, it's not true. Remember Abraham Lincoln said, people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. You have to make up your mind to be happy. Happiness is inside of you like everything else. But you have to choose that. You have to choose that attitude. Here's another one. For success, attitude is equally as important as ability. Equally important as ability. Your health, all of that. Anything that you want in your life, you have to make your mind up to do that and have the attitude for that. Remember when my Aunt Catherine, after 60 years of not seeing a doctor, she went to a doctor when she was almost 90, and the doctor said to her, you must have very good genes. And she looked at him and she said, don't you think attitude has something to do with it? Don't you think attitude has something to do with it? Attitude has something to do with everything. You're the one who decides. You're the one who decides. So decide to be happy. Make yourself happy. Make yourself happy by just deciding that you're happy. By just deciding that you're happy. Now, we also, I talk to you constantly about this mind. And we live in a mental world. And how does your mind really work? And you have to be able to put your mind out on a screen. And you have to be able to become a witness. You have to be able to become a witness to your own thinking. So I will tell a story on myself. So it's my birthday. So my mind's saying to me, well, your brother hasn't sent you anything. Why hasn't your brother sent you something? Well, he will. It didn't come yet. Well, maybe he forgot this year. It's not going to come. Yada, 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 yada. Finally, on Saturday, a knock at the door, and in comes a man with a beautiful, beautiful flower arrangement from my brother. From my brother. Then my mind says, huh, well, now it's too late. Should have come the day before. This is how you have to watch your mind and what it's doing to you. If I had left my mind go on with that, I would have said to them, take him back. Too late. My brother hates me. The whole world hates me. You have to see what your mind is doing to you all the time, and you have to tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came and say, this is not the way I want to run my life. These are not the thoughts that I want to think. I know perfectly well that my brother and I have a wonderful relationship. And does it matter if the flower arrangement comes on Friday or Saturday? Who says it has to come at a certain time to make me happy? You see? That's how you watch what you're doing with your own mind, with your own thinking. Because if you get in a funk, you got in a funk because of your thinking, not because somebody said something mean to you, not because of some incident that went on out there, not because of some circumstance, because you decided to think about it. And think about it in a negative way. And build this whole big story up about it. Instead of saying, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to maintain my happiness, my serenity, and my peace of mind. We are doing it all to ourselves. And we're doing it with our thinking, with our minds. Make sense? Does that help you? Yes. And we all do that. Now, what do? Now, did I get and say, oh, Dallas, you're mean, horrible, rude, ugly person? I said, no. Thank God I caught myself. And I love myself because I caught myself. And now I see what my mind can do. I learn to control my mind, and I'm getting even better with it. But I love myself. I love myself. Last week, a man was here. I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. Danny said, oh, he puts himself down. This young man said the same thing. Because if you say mean, hateful things, then you feel bad about yourself, don't you? When you say mean, hateful things, I say many mean, hateful things. But I never hate myself for that. I say, Dallas, straighten yourself out. I correct myself on it. But I don't hate myself. Why don't I hate myself? Because I'm not my mind and I am not my thoughts. I am something much better than that. I am not my mind. I am not my thoughts. I'm something much better than that. Something much better than that. Last week we did this. Remember, put your hand out. Put your hands up. Now, remember V8? Watch this. Ah, I could have been divine. I could have been divine. You see, so you make a mistake or something. Just go, oops, I could have been divine. And then go back and try that and be divine. And know that you're connected with this thing that we call God. You're connected with this whole universe. And forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Remember, this thing called God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. You see, you can't be one with God and then think bad thoughts about yourself. Because God doesn't do that. That would be God punishing its own self, and God doesn't punish its own self. Don't punish yourself for those things. Notice them and change them, for goodness sake. If you keep punishing yourself and you keep worrying about that, you're just going to keep doing it more and more and more. You see? So start to love yourself for everything. Love every little piece about you, every little thing. So you have these thoughts, they're just thoughts. Let them go. Let them go. We have to do that. Now the next thing, we want to move up in life. The tool that we have, remember, the largest tool we have in our toolbox is our imagination. You must use your imagination. And you must make that imagination work for you. So I mentioned this last week. We all think, all right, there has to be something called God. You can call it God, Harry, Henry, or something. And you go out and you buy all these books and you read all this stuff about it. But you have to be able to experience God. Reading about God is not experiencing God. Reading about me is not experiencing me. You're just reading. You're getting lots of knowledge, but you're not experiencing it. So you have to learn to experience God and know that that power, that cosmic power, is everywhere around you. Everywhere around you. So let's do this a moment. I want you to take your hands and clap them 10 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, we're going to rub them together. Now we're going to close our eyes. Now we're going to separate our hands so that they're not touching. And I want you to imagine the energy there. And it's pulling your hands like a rubber band back and forth. You can feel that energy. You can feel that. Now you are experiencing cosmic energy, which is in, as, around, and through you, which you are part of. You are part of that. You pull it back and forth. You can feel it. See it in your mind's eye as a ball of energy between your hands. And you can feel it pulsing. Is there anyone who's not feeling that? Make them go back a little. Yes, you can play with it. Yes, you can do all kinds of things with it. Now that's experiencing something. And it's always there to experience. How did we experience it? By using our imagination.
Imagination gives power to your intent. Does it really exist? Absolutely. Absolutely. If you do this all the time, you don't have to clap your hands or anything. You can feel it around you all the time. I love feeling it. I play with it all the time. Is there anyone here who can't feel it? We can come back now. Did you feel it? How about you?
I felt it. Felt good.
You see, you can actually feel it.
I still feel it.
Yes. The more you work with it, the more you'll be able to feel it. That's experiencing something. The more you work with this concept, this thing called God, the more you'll be able to feel it. This is not a parlor trick, people. This absolutely happens. Absolutely happens. You have to use your imagination to be able to get out of the box that you put yourself into. You cannot get out of that box any other way. You see. Next month, in March, the topic is going to be creating your reality. And we're going to start to create the reality that you want. And in order to do that, you have to know that this cosmic power exists and that you can change this cosmic power and make it what you want. But you have to use your imagination to be able to do that. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yes. So, oh my. See, it just comes right back. I just love it. So it's like a rubber band, you know. And you know what else it's like? I can sometimes pull it like taffy. You can do all kinds of things with it. Anyway, there. So do that at home. Do that during the day. Feel that. Now, you have an ache and pain. Do that. Then give yourself the healing. Give yourself the healing. The energy will go there, through there. It'll go ahead. It'll do it for you. The other thing to remember is start loving yourself. How many people here love themselves today? What's wrong? Why didn't you love yourself today? You forgot. You may have loved somebody else. What the hell with them? Learn to love yourself. You have to learn to love yourself. That's all there is to it. Learn it. You can do it. We'll work with more of this. I'll show you other little things. I'll show you how to make your finger grow. But not tonight. All right. We'll open it to question. Oh, we better do our matter dance. We forgot to do the matter dance. Why do we do the matter dance? Because we always have to remember that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. You have to remember that day in and day out, hourly, by the minute, and then learn to love yourself. Let's get up and do this. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! So, we're now open for questions. Any question that you have?
I want to talk about sin. Now, I know how we view sin is that we just view it as a mistake, and we do not punish ourselves. So God does not punish us for sins. Okay, therefore we punish ourselves by keep making the mistake over and over. Okay, understand that. All right, so what about the person that has no, let's say, remorse? They don't care about the mistake they made. And say, let's say if I shoot him, I totally don't, doesn't matter that I shot him. Yeah, because I don't feel anything about that.
Yeah.
How does that play into it? And yet, somebody will say, well, I need to be punished.
Oh,
because of the act that I did.
Yeah, because somebody else says that. Remember, rightful judgment doesn't belong to us.
You have no idea what the cost of God. You see, where we get in trouble here.
Where I think a lot of people get in trouble is that I could just go around shooting everybody.
Yes, but you don't, do you?
No.
So, don't do that. And why bother to even think about that? I'm going to point out two things first in this little thing that you just said. First of all, the word sin is an architectural term meaning to miss the mark, an architectural archer's term for archery. And it means to miss the mark, and was put in the King James Version of the Bible when people shot bows and arrows at each other. So, to sin means to miss the mark. To sin means you made the mistake. You missed what you were supposed to do. Now, also, we look at the word mistake. Mistake is instant karma. It's instant karma comes right back and tells you you're wrong. Now, if we didn't have that, we'd keep doing the same thing over and over. So when you make a mistake, say, oh, thank goodness, that showed up. Now I know to try something else. That's not working. I can try something else. Then, with these questions that your mind loves to ask you, usually people ask me, why was Hitler here? I have no idea why Hitler was here, but I do know that if I'm part of God, Hitler had to be part of God too. But you see, we have inside of the mind of God, which we all live, move, and have our being in, we have race mind. And Hitler was part of race mind. He was part of a thing because we are allowed to think anything that we want to think. This thing that we call God does not say you can't think that. This thing that we say call God does not say you can't kill somebody. You know that. But you're talking about certain people who don't have remorse. Well, we don't know that they don't have remorse. They just say that, you see. The other thing that you have to remember when we're talking about this thing, since we have these little finite minds, and our mind loves to reason, we can only reason with a finite mind. We cannot reason with the divine's mind. We have no idea why some things happen, because it's a divine reason. It's beyond our reasoning. It's beyond our reasoning. People want to sit and think that, oh, why? We are never going to figure that out. You ask questions that you're never going to be figuring out. So instead of asking...
That's what Mary makes longer, know it.
Yeah, but why do you want your mind to work on those things? Why do you want to take up all that energy asking a question that cannot be answered instead of working on yourself and trying to see, why don't I love myself? Why do I think myself divine? Why don't I make a lot of money? Why don't I do this? Instead of, if I shoot somebody. You see, where's that getting you? Does that make sense to you? I mean, it's a nice question. It's not getting you anywhere. I don't know the answer to it. And I'm not one bit concerned about that. I'm one bit concerned about how am I going to love myself more? How am I going to be happy? How am I going to have more prosperity in my life? How am I going to really love my life and everybody else? You see? Learn to ask better questions. That's what life is all about. And if you want to get out of the box, you have to learn to ask better questions. If you keep asking those same questions, you're going to stay in the same box. Does this make sense to you? Learn to ask better questions. You see? Okay. Next question. Anyone else have a question?
I do.
Good.
How do you deal with disappointment, being rejected, something really going wrong that you were counting on?
You have to know that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. And I always consider rejection as God's protection. Because if you got what you wanted, there was something wrong with that. So you have to say, oh, that wasn't exactly right for me. But the right thing is there for me. And I do a little thing. I'm always highly pleased with myself. You see? So that nobody rejects me. I'm always highly pleased with myself in the presence of others. So, and then you start putting out love and know that love is the only thing that's going to come back to you, not rejection. Not rejection. And it'll come to you. You have to learn to love yourself more. Now, you're also in a pattern of rejection. You've been rejected a lot. Yes. So you get into the pattern, you see, or into that consciousness.
You have to say, I'm no longer in that consciousness. That is not me any longer. You see, you're not the same person you were this morning when you woke up, people. You aren't the same person. You have to keep remembering that you're growing. So you made a mistake this morning. You're not going to make that mistake tonight because you've learned something. Therefore, you're not the same person. But we love to punish ourselves, and what we are punishing is somebody that no longer exists. You're punishing a ghost, an apparition. It's no longer you, but yet you insist on punishing that person. Does this help you?
Mm-hmm.
Just sit and love yourself so much that this whole world wants to flock to you. And then you'll never be rejected. You'll never be rejected. You can do that. You wouldn't be here and you wouldn't come here if I didn't have the answer for you and if you couldn't find out the answer in here. That's the way mind works, people. When I say mind, I mean the mind of God. There's no such thing as chance or accident. You find answers when you come here. People who do not come to me, I do not have the answer for. I said, wouldn't you like all these people to come to you? No. I don't want everybody to come to me because I don't have the answer for them. But the people who do come to me, I have the answer for. Does that make sense? Question?
No. I know I'm not my mind, I'm not my thoughts, and you know, I always sort of pray to be in love and service, to show me the way to be a good person. Sometimes, a lot of times, the anxiety thoughts just take over, and I go through all the tools, I go through all the stuff, I say it's not my thoughts, it's not my mind, and it just doesn't go away. And lately, I'm just trying to sit with it and say, yeah, they will pass. They do pass.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes it may last half a day.
Yes.
And they're not even triggered by anything that's particularly tangible.
No.
And what do I do with that?
Well, you know, we're always moving in and out of thought atmospheres. And we move into these thought atmospheres, and that was a thought atmosphere that you moved into. And you're learning how to get out of it. You are new to this, and you are new to this way of thinking. And it's not going to be instant, you see. You learned a great many things beforehand that took you years to learn. Now you have to unlearn some of that stuff, and it takes a little bit longer. So the pattern that's in your mind wants to keep throwing up that old thing because your mind will always take the route of least existence. It will always bring up something familiar to you, you see, because it's used to that. And it'll just keep doing that. That's why you have to make it stop. And you have to say, I want something different here. And if you keep asking for your mind to tell you something different, your mind will eventually tell you something different. But we settle for the same old thing every time. We say, well, that must be it then. No, it's not it. You see, when I have a thought that I don't like, I say, I don't like that thought. You're going to have to give me a better thought than that. That thought does not fit here. It does not suit me, and I do not want it. Now, either shut up or come up with a better thought. And then my mind says, oh, okay. Your mind is your obedient servant. It has to do what you want it to do. It has to do what you want it to do. Why? Because you are not your mind. Your mind is yours. When I say that, please, people, you have to get that through your head, that you are not who you think you are. You are not who you think you are. So, with your cosmic energy, with all that, then imagine, who am I? When I want to do that, I imagine that I'm here. Now I'm watching Dallas. And I'm saying, Dallas, that is not who you are. And I change that because here I am. I'm not here. You're saying. So you can do that. Just put your hand up and say, oh, I see all those thoughts going on. That isn't it. Now use your imagination.
see those thoughts in that same pattern, running down that same road. Look at your inside of your mind and see all the freeways and so forth. They're the synapses and so forth. And you say, oh, I've been down that road before. I've been down that road before. Oh, look, there's a sign going this direction. Oh, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that. Imagination. Imagination. You weren't here when I taught the technique of taking your brain out. You just take your brain out. Now you're going to wash your brain and wash all that stuff out. Remember that old song, I'm going to wash that man right out of my head? Now you're going to wash these thoughts right out of your brain. So you take your brain out. Put it under the water. No. Oh, look, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes. Oh, boy. Ooh, looks nice, clean now. Whoops. Put it back in. Put it back in. Try that with headaches. It works. You have powers, powers, powers that you do not use. The world has taken them away from you. Don't let the world take your power away from you. Learn to use those powers. What did Einstein say? Imagination is more important than knowledge. We wouldn't be. We don't. Nothing comes into this world without imagination. Use your imagination. Wonderful power that you have. But learn how powerful you are. Learn how defined you are. Learn how defined you are. How many people here know that you are the beloved in whom this universe is well pleased? Yes, you are the beloved. Put that hand up. You have to know that you're the beloved. Doesn't matter. I don't care if your parents beat you. I don't care if your parents hated you. I don't care if teachers did something to you. I don't care what the hell happened to you. You have to know that you're the beloved in whom this universe is well pleased. You have to know that, and you have to love yourself. You see, you can come through any circumstance that this world gives to you. You can come through any circumstance that this world gives to you. Rose came through a concentration camp, and she's here today, and she's happy, aren't you, Rose?
Happy as I can be.
Yes. As happy as you can be, yes. But you have your wonderful sense of humor. You have life in you. Everything. She did not let anything get her down. You cannot let this world beat you down. And it's not God doing it. It's the world. It's other human beings. You are always going to be the beloved in whom this thing called God is well pleased. You have to get that through your head, through your thinking, through your psychic, so that you realize that about yourself and make your life wonderful. Another question.
Dallas, when you're doing treatment, what's your take on outlining? How much outlining should be done?
Well, you must be absolutely specific. And the word outline, always, I wish they had never put that in the
name. Yeah, because I get different.
All right, so forget the word outline completely. I hear this constantly. Maybe I outline too much of this, that, and the other thing. Outlining is this. You cannot have the house at 314 Green Street because it belongs to the Joneses. But you can think of that house and have a house very similar to it or a house exactly like it. Mm-hmm. But you have to know exactly where's the bathroom, where are the bedrooms, where's the dining room, what kind of furniture am I going to put on it, what kind of rug is on the floor, is there a fire in the fireplace, are the windows clean, what kind of window treatments do I have? That, you have to do that. It's not outlining, that is being specific. And the more specific and exact you can be, the quicker you will get your demonstration. Help you?
Yeah, I just wanted to clear that up.
And I wish that the ministers would stop bringing that up or teaching that because it's awful and it has caused more harm than good and stopped more people from obtaining what they want because they're afraid they're outlining. Do not be afraid that you're outlining. You are not doing that.
To deal with more specifics.
Yes. It should never have been put in there. So, you can't be afraid of this thing called God. You say, why do we say you have to be exact and specific? Because it's what you want. And you're building that mold, remember. And the better the mold is and the more detailed that mold is, what your cosmic power is filling it up. If you just have a square here, cosmic power will fill that up and give you this square. But now, if you put little curlicues in it and all this filigree work and all that, now the cosmic power comes in and duplicates that for you and gives you that, you say. So if you just say, I want a house, you'll get going to, there it is. There's your house. Of course, it has no rooms in it, doesn't have a ceiling, doesn't have a roof, but there's your house. You have to say, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is exactly what I want. And you have to use your imagination and see it. See everything in that house. Voila. You will have it. Exact. Specific. This is exactly what I want. And then you leave that to the universe. Because regardless of what you want, and as great as you can see that you want, this thing called God can figure out how to give you something even better that you cannot think of. And when you get the thing that's even better, you go, oh, my. Oh, well, yeah, I don't want that anymore. I want this. But you have to be specific and you have to be exact. There's another little thing people get confused. So they say, oh, well, I'll just leave it up to God. You cannot leave it up to God. You cannot do that. You see? There are all these little loopholes in metaphysics. And people, and you're not people, your mind loves to latch on to them. Don't let your mind do that. You see? Outlining is one of them. Or I'll just leave it up to God and God will supply all this stuff.
It's meant to be.
No. You have to be specific. God will always take care of you. Always take care of you. But only as far as your consciousness will go.
You mean don't leave up what you want to God, but you can sometimes leave up the how to God if you don't know
yes,
how?
Yes, absolutely. I have no idea how. I say that all the time. I don't know how to do this, God, but I know you do, so you'll have to do it. I have no idea what this problem, what this person's problem is. But I know that you do, and you'll take care of that problem for me.
So if you have a house in mind, you say, I don't know how I'm going to get this house, God, but I know you do, and
yes.
I have faith in that.
And you learn, and you start to live in that house. You see? You start to live in that house. You start to see yourself there, up and down the steps, cleaning, putting stuff in the refrigerator, cooking a meal, having people over for dinner, sitting on the sofa, watching a movie, whatever. You have to start to live it. You see?
You have an old house in mind that you've had or been in before. Is that, I mean, like, you can still keep that house in
yes,
mind, right?
Absolutely. And then start furnishing and start seeing it, and you'll get that or something better. Absolutely. It's done with your mind. It's done with your imagination. But you have to build the mold for this thing, which you just all felt, to pour into. All this that we did tonight is invisible. It just hasn't taken clothes and dwelled among us because we didn't put clothes on it. You can put clothes on this at any time you want to. What do you think we've done to ourselves here? You see?
Can you have a few houses in mind?
Absolutely. You can have as many as you want. God doesn't care. Remember, the universe is abundant. You know, we also say, oh, I wouldn't want 5 homes. You know. Why not? Why not? Because you think you're greedy? I know people who have 5 homes. I know people that have 5 homes, big boats, airplanes. Do they feel greedy? No. Do I like them yet? Because they invite me to this place. No. You have to do that. See, that's another little thing that the world tells you. Oh, you're going to only have so much. Or am I being greedy and all? Brand name religions love to teach you that, you know. Stay poor. Give your money away. Do this, do that. I say, keep your money. Yes, absolutely, keep your money. It's yours, isn't it? And then he asks for more. How's your house coming?
Oh, they're building it right now.
Good. You're building. You must take that responsibility. You're built. More questions? Come on. We have 2 more hours. It's a double feature tonight. No?
Me?
Yeah. No questions? Nobody? No? You don't have one? Surely. Monk, no question?
No, I got the answers.
Oh, well, all right, he only has
to entertain myself.
Well, that's wonderful. All right, so I will talk as usual. You have to use your imagination. From day one, I have said that to you people. We've talked about the imagination and how important it is. Now, tonight you realize that it's even more important than maybe you thought before. If you want to use your imagination, you can feel the cosmic energy. If you want to focus on something, it's your imagination that gives that focus and that intention power. You have to use that power to do that. I was out, and I can do some things sometimes very quickly. On Sunday night, we were in a shop with some friends of mine. And I immediately saw a beautiful Indian from India, godhead that I thought, oh, that's nice. My friend said, oh, would you like that? And I knew right away she's going to buy it for me. Right away I knew. As soon as I looked at it, I knew she was going to buy it for me. By using my imagination. By using my imagination. Now, not only did she buy it for me, we got it for nothing. She bought some other things and they had said, oh, I'll throw that in. So we got it for nothing. That's abundance of prosperity, including money, people. You see. It boiled down to I got what I wanted. I didn't have to pay for it. She didn't have to pay for it. These are gifts from the universe. This is gifts from this thing that we call God. These are the things that you have to remember. What we think in our mind is somebody has to pay for that. Well, somebody did pay for it. It just wasn't us. When you want something, remember, money is never the issue. If you want something, think about it without attaching money to it. And you'll get it. Most people don't get what they want because they attach money to it and they think, oh, that's too much and no one would pay that much for it, or I won't pay that much for it. No, I never say I won't pay that much for it. I just say I won't pay for it. And it usually comes to me. And I'm going to tell you a cute story. You've heard me say this before. What's yours by right of consciousness must always be yours. Goodbye. About 5 or 7 years ago, I used to go to a shop in Pasadena, a consignment shop, and I saw a little set of breakfast dishes in there. And I wanted them. But they were more money than I wanted to spend. So I said to the woman back then, ask the lady if she'll take less. Well, the lady who put them in the consignment shop said no. On Saturday when I was over there after 5 or 7 years, they're still there. So I said to her, you know, they're here because they're mine by right of consciousness. Now call the woman and tell her that she has to come down in the price because you're never going to sell to anybody else. She called the woman. She wasn't home. She left a message.
I will eventually get those dishes, and I will get them at a very good price, because I have seen myself sitting having coffee in the mornings using those coffee cups. That is using my imagination. But I also claimed them in consciousness. You have to claim what you want in consciousness. If I go to a store and something is very expensive, a piece of clothing or something, and I do not wish to pay that much money for it, I put that in my mind, in my consciousness, and I say, that will be mine. Then I go back and they're having a fantastic 75% sale, and that item is still hanging there. No one bought it. Why? Because it's mine by right of consciousness. And then I get it. You see? The same way with this carpet. We don't know how long it's going to take. Remember, it took how long to get rid of this carpet? But we treated to get rid of the carpet. You weren't here. Ugly, dirty, filthy carpet. We made the treatment. One day we came in, the carpet's gone. Completely gone. You see? May have been 5 or 7 years, but I never gave up those dishes in consciousness. And I see myself in the morning drinking from those cups. They have to be mine because I'm using my imagination. So one morning I'll be sitting in my chair with my coffee and I'll reach over and I will pick that cup up. I'm picking it up now. You just can't see it, but I can. Now it will become real. And one morning I'll reach over and whoops, aha, it is. That is the way you use this thing we call mind. My mind, the mind of God. There is only one mind. But you have to use your imagination to be able to do that. Therein lies the power. If you have an intent to get something, you want a house. Have you imagined that house? Have you seen yourself in that house?
I don't think of the price, though.
No, you don't have to think of the price. I just told you. Money is never the issue.
But let's say you walk into a store and you see like a jacket or something.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, that jacket's $200. Like,
yes.
I wouldn't pay more than $100 or something.
Yes.
How do you get that $200? Every time I think of that jacket, I would think about $200. It's like, how do you separate the money from you?
See yourself wearing the jacket. See yourself doing that. See yourself paying only $100 for it. See yourself paying what you want to pay for it. Just because the price tag is on there doesn't mean it costs anything. I'll tell you the other story we were in this with. We went to a shoe store down on Melrose. A boot. Girl wanted to buy boots. $169. I said, remember, we're buying both boots, both the right and the left. He said, okay, $149. He says, well, we're closing soon. I said, wouldn't you like to make a good last sale? Finally, we get to the counter. He said, okay, I'll give them to you for Money's always negotiable. Price tags are just price tags. They mean nothing. Well, things are only as valuable if you want to make them. Never get stuck on the price. Never get stuck on there. Do you see yourself wearing that leather jacket? Do you see yourself having fun in that leather jacket? Can you see it in your closet? Can you reach in your closet, get it out, and put it on? This is using your imagination. This is what metaphysics is all about, people. You know, we come here and we think, oh, I'm going to be spiritual. I'm going to learn a lot about God. Well, yes, you're going to learn a lot about God. You're going to become more spiritual. You're going to learn a lot of things. But the main thing about metaphysics is things come from the unseen. And you take what's unseen and you make it seen. And you do that with your imagination. Metaphysics. You see, what does meta mean? Beside. You see, something is beside. the physical. What is behind the physical? You see? In the Bible, it says this. All things seen come from things that are not seen. All things seen come from things that are not seen. You have to go to the thing that's not seen. It's not seen. But all things seen came from it. The chair came from the unseen through somebody's imagination. Through somebody's imagination. You took the unseen, put it through your imagination, and it became seen. Does that make sense to you? You know, this is not airy-fairy. This is metaphysics. And we apply it to everything in life. And we certainly apply it to this thing that we call God. And this teaching is always going to be a God-oriented teaching. But this is not a church. This is not a religion that I'm teaching here. I am teaching you practical tools so that your life can become better, so that you can have in your life what you want, that you don't go through from birth to death not getting what you want, not realizing how divine you are, that you are the Beloved, so that you can reach what we call the peace that passes all understanding. And then you'll decide, oh, you know, I don't need all the stuff that I thought I needed. And as soon as you realize that you don't need all the things that you think you need, you will have them. Make sense? Then you'll have them. Why will you have them? Because they're already here, people. But with all your ones, you can't see them. That's a little tricky one. But you'll learn that. But tonight you learn that it's your imagination. You see? It's your imagination that's going to do it for you. So develop that imagination. Develop your imagination. Stop worrying about what God is, who God is, and what's going on there. God's quite fine, I can assure you. But are you? And are you getting what you want? The world has taught you to look at price tags and to this money thing. Say to yourself, money is never the issue. And money is not what buys what I want. What you get what you want with your imagination, not with your money. So use it. It's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.